Okay, if there's no one else, nothing else, no more questions about the McNally's or the interim ministry, open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We're going to get to Romans chapter 12 in a couple of moments. But tonight, what I'd like to talk about is not do a real expositional sermon like this morning. I like to do more of a topical thing tonight. And I tried always to preach this message or one similar to this message every year in our church. And because I thought, you know, I need to be reminded of this at least once a year, maybe more often, and I think everybody else needs to be reminded of this too. So this is what we're going to look at tonight. So let's pray, and we will get started. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for the opportunity we have to again to open up your precious and holy book. We thank you for the opportunity to talk about the interim ministry. We thank you for just the blessing of being a child of the King and being able to know and understand and be able to have a relationship with you. And we rejoice in that. And tonight, Father, as we think about one of your commandments, one of your directives that we find very difficult to do sometimes, we pray, God, for your grace and your help in these matters, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things that I can guarantee that has already happened to you and is going to happen to you again is that somebody is going to do something to you. They're going to say something to you. They're going to actually physically do something to you. They're going to say something to somebody else about you, and it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to maybe cause you physical pain, emotional pain. It's going to be very difficult. And probably all of us in this room have already had that happen. Somebody has done something to us, and it's usually by somebody that we care about, that we love, somebody that we're close to, usually as the norm, because we have more interaction with those kinds of people. But we are going to, we have experienced in our life already, and we're going to experience, as the Lord gives us days to live here on this earth, we're going to have difficulties, struggles, because people are going to offend us, upset us. They're going to do things to us that are going to cause us problems. Now, the how do we respond to these things is the question, okay? So there are three choices that we have of how do we respond when somebody does something to us, okay? Three choices, three ways that we can react to these things and when somebody hurts us. And again, people have hurt me, people have hurt you in very difficult ways, and you just can't, you know, always just wipe it off. You have to, you know, there's responses. And so the first one that we like is we like to get revenge. We had a church picnic one time years and years and years ago. And the church picnic was down along this little creek. And, you know, there's some pavilions on on this side. And we're all there, and we're just having a great time at this picnic. And for some reason or another, I don't know how it all got started, but there were a couple of folks down by the water. And one of them, I don't know, threw a rock in or something like that and splashed the other one, and they got wet. They didn't like that, the fact that they got wet. So they got some water, and they threw it on to the other person. And they didn't like that either. And so they got, you know, a bigger container and more water and threw it on to the next one. And that spread to the place where everybody who was at the picnic was involved in this water fight. Now, some of it was just fun, but, you know, you get the picture there, is that, you know, whenever you're seeking revenge, at least if I'm the one seeking revenge, we want the revenge to be worse than the original offense that was done unto us, right? Because not only do you want them not to do it again, but you want to teach them a lesson. Don't you do that to anybody else. And so our natural response when somebody does something to us is, I want to get revenge. Now notice how I said our natural response, not our spiritual response, our natural response is to get revenge, okay? The second opportunity, or the second choice, the second thing that we can do is this. We can bottle it up inside, okay? We're upset about something, somebody does something to us, and we just bottle it up inside. We just, you know, just think about it, and it agitates us, and it irritates us, and what happens to us? We become bitter, we become contemptible, we become angry, we give someone the silent treatment. You hear stories about people that are married and the husband does something or the wife does something and they say, well, I haven't talked to them in 3 days, I'm going to teach them a lesson. And most of the time they say, well, hallelujah, I haven't heard her nagging, or I haven't heard him yammering about things for 3 days. You know, this is a real blessing. I should do this kind of stuff more often. And, you know, it's just, you know, working out well. But we get this, this attitude in us that we're just struggling. And so we bottle this up. And most of the time it just turns into bitterness and anger and clamor and all of those kinds of things. And you hear stories about churches that, you know, the people that sit on this side haven't talked to the people that sat on this side for 10 years. And you say, well, what's the problem? Well, I don't remember the problem is, but we're upset with those people over there and they haven't asked for forgiveness. And so they're, you know, we're just going to continue to be upset. So we can do that. The third option, the third thing is that we can forgive. Okay? We can forgive that person. But you know, forgiving is never easy. Forgiving is always hard, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along. So I would be willing to bet that every one of us in this room has done all three of these things, right? Or maybe you've never done the forgiveness part, I'm not sure. I talked to a lady one time, and she said, you know, we've been married now for 46 years, 47 years, I forget, long, long time. And she said, my husband has never said, I'm sorry. My husband has never said, I am wrong. I said, well, what do you do when you have struggles? Well, he just forgets about it. He goes on. You know, there's never a response of, you know, I was wrong about anything that has transpired. And you say, wow, what a marriage that had to be, never have any kind of a reconciliation after all that time. So those are the three choices. Now, what we want to do is we want to look at, you know, what's God say about each of those things, okay? What does God say about revenge? You know, is that God's idea? Is that God's plan for the revenge? So you're in Romans chapter 12, and let's see what God says about this idea of revenge. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture, beautiful illustration. Romans chapter 12 is the application part of the book of Romans. You know, the first several chapters talk about being unsaved, and the next couple of chapters talk about salvation, and the next couple of chapters talk about sanctification, and you get the part dealing with the nation of Israel, and 9, 10, 11, and then you get to chapter 12, and now's the application. You know, put it into practice, and we're all familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2, beseech you, brethren, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But on in chapter 12, in verse 17, he says this. In chapter 12 and verse 17 of the book of Romans, he says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it's possible, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? So here's the Lord saying, and this is just really powerful here in verse number 19. He says, avenge not yourself, but rather give place, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Okay? We don't have to, you know, we don't have to get vengeance on somebody who has done us wrong. Why? Because God says, I will repay. I will bring justice. I will handle the situation. I will do these kinds of things. And we think, well, you know, I got to teach this person a lesson, and I have to show this person that they're not going to, you know, to treat me this way, and those kinds of things. But God says, no, you don't have to do this revenge kind of thing. You don't have to do vengeance. God says, I'll take care of you. I'll look out for you. I will make things right. He says, so therefore, if thy enemy hunger, this person who has done you wrong, if they have done you wrong, he says, if he's hungry, what should you do? Wow, that's hard, isn't it? I don't even like you. And here God wants me to do something good for you. He says, if he's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. So he says, for in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. The idea is that, you know, after he has done something wrong to you, he understands his guilt over what he has done for you. And here you are, you know, you're showing the grace of God to him. You know, you're helping him, you're providing for, you're meeting his needs, you're being a blessing to him for the wrongs that he has done. And it's just like, you know, heaping coals of fire on his head, the idea of recognizing his guilt, and here he is, you know, you're treating him so well. But that is so hard. You can't do that outside of the grace of God. You can't do that outside of God's gift of mercy and help and compassion to be able to, you know, to minister to somebody. You can't do that on your own in your own strength. And that's why the natural response is to get revenge, but the biblical response is to feed them, give them something to drink, is to be merciful unto them, show them compassion, meet the need that they have. Because in doing that, what are you doing? You're really demonstrating the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're really demonstrating the fact that, you know, God wants you to love your enemies. You know, as you go down through the list of things that God wants us to love, our enemies are one of those things that God desires for us to love. And so he's saying, you know, they heap coals of fire upon their head whenever you do that. As much as lies as possible, and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. You know, some people will not allow you to live peaceably with them. You know, it'd just be impossible for you to do that just because of the way they are. But, you know, you seek to be peaceable with them, okay? So revenge is not an option from God's point of view. Bottling up this hurt inside of you, you know, is that a good idea? Is that something that we should be doing? We should be bottling up this hurt and agony and you know, giving the cold shoulder and all of those kind of things. Turn over if you would. We'll look at the book of Hebrews, and then we'll jump over to the book of Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any man, any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, by it many are defiled. Okay, he says, looking diligent, lest any man fail. The idea here is that this root of bitterness is going to spring up and it's going to trouble you, okay? And the last thing that God wants us to do is to have a bitterness in our spirit. You know, what's he want our spirit to be? A spirit of peace and a spirit of love, a spirit of compassion, a spirit of righteousness, a spirit of, you know, the spirit that the Lord has. And so he says that this spirit of bitterness will spring up in you, trouble you, and you will be defiled. Okay? You know, your attitude, you know, it affects you. You know, so many times you see people that, you know, as they're going through life, you know, in their 40s and 50s and 60s and so forth, you know, they're nice people and all those kind of things. And then finally they get to be in their 70s and their 80s and, you know, ages like that. And they begin to become, you know, very bitter people, and they're angry about everything that goes on. And people said, you know, I wonder what caused them to be so bitter and nasty that they have gotten old. And what it is the fact that they've always been bitter and nasty, but they've been able to hide it for, you know, when they're 30s and 40s and 50. But now their walls have fallen down, and they're, you know, the real person is coming through, and they've had this bitterness in their life for many, many years, and they have never dealt with it. And so God says, you know, don't let this bitterness be in you. Jump over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and notice what Paul says here. Beautiful passage about how to live the Christian life in chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Ephesians. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." He said, you know, these things here, he said, put those things away. You know, this anger, you shouldn't be angry. He says, this bitterness, you know, put that away. You shouldn't be bitter. He says, the idea of clamor and evil speaking, let all of those things be put away from you. You know, that's not the way that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ intends us to live. That's not the way the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified to live that way. He says, put all that stuff away. Get rid of it. Don't have that in your life. And you get around people, you know, even believers that, you know, that speak evil and have anger issues and those kinds of things. But God said, you know, put that stuff away and induct yourself with something else. And we'll talk about that in just a couple of moments. Let's go on to number three. Okay. We don't do revenge, we don't bottle up. How many of you knew we were going to get to forgive? I knew I wasn't gonna trick you into that. I knew that you guys were already gonna know the answer. But let's go through and talk about it a little bit. Forgiveness is always a wonderful thing to talk about. Turn over, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, talking about forgiveness. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, talking about forgiveness. First Peter 4, 8, he says this, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourself." Okay? I like that. Fervent love. You know, not just mediocre love. Not just good love, not bad love, but fervent love. You know, fervent is the idea of an excited, enthusiastic, just powerful kind of love. And he says, "Let above all things have fervent love among yourselves." Okay, talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I just love the other brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a fervent love among yourselves. It says, "For love shall cover a multitude of sins." And we all understand this, right? If you have lived in a close proximity of another human being, you know that you have to love them to be able to put up with them for any length of time. You have to forgive the wrongs that they do. Okay? Say, just for illustration's sake, say that my wife struggled with me leaving my socks laying in the living room. And every night I would come home from work and I would take my shoes off and I would take my socks off and I would put them right on the coffee table. Well, we knew that your wife was a good woman, so we knew that that would not be an issue. So you come home, and your wife looks at you and said, "You know, I have told you, you know, for the last 32 years, please don't leave your socks on the table," but you continue to do that. And what does she do? She continues to forgive you because she does what? She loves you. Now, that's a very extreme example of what we're talking about, but you know that, you know, this person that you're living in close proximity with, they do things that bug you, they do things that irritate you, they do things that, you know, that just, you know, just sort of drive you crazy. And what do? You have a choice. You know, should I make a big confrontation about it? Well, if it's a good thing, maybe you do that. But for the most part, you do what? You say, "Well, that's just the way they are. And I'm going to put up with it. Because I love them. I care about them. I know what's, I want what's best for them. And so therefore, this fervent love that I have is going to cover this multitude of sins. Okay? These things that go on day after day after day, and you forgive them for these things. And again, now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if they do something, you know, that's larger, something that's more offensive, something that is, you know, that is really wrong. I mean, there's really no sin in leaving your socks on the coffee table, right? Sure is irritating, but not necessarily sinful, okay? But they do other things, and you handle it in a different way. But one of the things that you do whenever you're talking about them is you forgive them because you love them. You don't make a large thing about the whole deal. You know, you do that with your kids. You know, you say, well, that's just the way they are. I'm going to forgive them. You do that with your husband. You do that with your wife. And sometimes you do that with the people you work for. You know, well, I love them. I want to lead them to Christ. I want to be an example to them. So I'm just going to overlook the thing that they do that irritates me. And again, you need to have a balance there of, you know, approaching them about it, or just letting the thing go and forgiving them for what they have done. The other issue is that the other thing that we need to handle is in Matthew chapter 18. Okay, so say that they have done something that is, you know, really sinful, something that you really can't handle, you can't take, you just can't say, well, you know, that's just one of those things that I can overlook. Whenever somebody wrongs you, Matthew gives us some steps to take in regard to handling that situation. So Matthew 18, and you've probably looked at this passage of scripture before, but the idea in Matthew chapter 18 is that you go to that person and you talk to them. Okay, now let's start reading at chapter 18. And we'll begin at verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, sin against you, cause you some kind of a consternation kind of thing. He says, thy brother shall trespass against you. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. Okay, now, why is this such a wise statement to do this, to go to somebody who has wronged you and try to get the thing straightened out? Did you ever think that maybe, just maybe, that somebody does something to you and they didn't realize that it hurt your feelings? They didn't realize that it was really something offensive to you? They didn't realize that your heart was broken about this, okay? So you go to them and you talk about it and they say, what? Oh, wow. I didn't know that bothered you. I didn't know that offended you. I didn't know that was the issue. Oh, please forgive me. You know, I never meant for anything like that to happen. And what have you done? Problem solved. They have handled the situation. But if you go to the neighbors and say, wow, do you know what Bill did or Mary did to me? And you spread it around the neighborhood hoping that it's going to get back to that person. What have you done now? Well, now you have involved the whole community in it. There's a difficulty and a struggle. You've gossiped about it. And, you know, now you have a whole issue there. But if you do it biblically, you go to that person and say, you know, here's the problem. Did you know that I've been offended this way? And I always like to ask a person a question whenever I have a situation like that. I don't go and make a statement and say, you know, you're a dirty, rotten louse because you said da, 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 da. I like to go and ask a question. I said, you know, when you said, did you know when you said such and such words, did you know that really offended me? That really hurt my feelings or something like that. And if you ask a question, you're taking down the guard, you're not making accusations, you're asking them a question, and you're trying to, you know, resolve it. You're going there with the idea of wanting to resolve things, okay? So, but sometimes they don't get resolved that way. So in verse 16 it says, if thy brother shall hear you, verse 16 says, but if he will not hear you, then take one or two more at the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. You know, they won't get the thing resolved, won't apologize, won't deal with the sin, won't handle that situation. Take two or three. If they neglect to hear those two or three, then go to the church. And if they neglect to hear the church, let him be as an infidel or a, a heathen. You know, the idea there is that, you know, usually we use these verses when we're talking about church discipline and a person who is, you know, living in sin, a member of the church, and, you know, talk about him and how we're going to restore those kind of things. But hopefully we don't get that far, that the person recognizes, you know, there's a wrongness and forgiveness takes place. Now, let's go on further and a little bit further in that chapter to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, because here is where it really gets to the heart of forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" And I think when Peter said "till seven times," he was legitimately thinking, that is a lot. Seven times. Now you think about that for a second. If somebody does something to you seven different times, pretty soon you're ready to do what? Grab something and whack them over the head with it, right? Say, you know, can't you stop? You know, this we're done here. But notice what Jesus says. He says in verse number 22, he says, Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Okay? So you know what that means, right? When you get to 489, you get the stick out, ready to, you know, I'm going to wail into this guy. No, the idea is that Jesus said, you just keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. You know, that's the idea. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be people that forgive the wrongs that have been done to us. Now, he gives us a beautiful illustration of that, starting in verse number 23. He says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had nothing with which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." And we look at that and say, wow, isn't that awesome? Owed him 10,000. He said, you know, put him in jail for this. And then he begged him, "Please, let me go. I'll pay you all." And he forgave him the debt. Now, what happens? The next verse. He said, but verse 28, "But the same servant went out, found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii," which would be, you know, much less money than the 10,000 talents, "laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but he went out and he cast him in prison till he should pay the debt." Okay, now just think about that for a second. Here you have just been forgiven, you know, this large amount, and then, you know, you go out looking for somebody who owes you a smaller amount, and you're not going to have compassion. You know, your Lord had compassion on you, but you won't have compassion on another person. You know, we just say, what? That's not right. If God is, you know, if your Lord is showing compassion to you, you should be doing what? You should be showing compassion to other people. Verse 31, "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and they told the Lord all that was done. And the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besought me. Should thou not also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on them?' And the Lord was angry and delivered him unto the inquisitors till he should pay all that was due him." The Lord says, you know, I had compassion on you. You should have compassion on those people. Now, we look at this and say, wow, you know, that's right. You know, that's what needs to take place. Okay? Because that's what it, that's what? That's forgiveness is what it is. The crux of forgiveness, I believe, is right here in Ephesians chapter 4, because Ephesians chapter 4 is a beautiful picture of the illustration that we just read in Matthew chapter 18. Because notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." What's it say? "Even as God for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Why should you and I forgive people who have wronged us? The reason being, because we have been forgiven so much. I was reading somewhere one time, I can't remember where it was, but I found this wonderful definition of forgiveness. And I just love this definition. What does it mean to forgive? Forgive means that you choose to absorb the pain that is caused by another person and they go free, even though they don't deserve it. Right? That's forgiveness. You decide, I'm going to take the pain, I'm going to take the anguish, I'm going to take the words that they have, I'm going to take, you know, whatever it is that they have done to me, I'm going to take that upon myself, and I'm going to let them go free. No responsibility at all. I'm just going to let God handle what's going on with them, what's taking place with them. I'm going to do it, even though they don't deserve it. Because what is that? That's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I, right? Isn't that what Christ did for us? You know, the Lord Jesus, he took upon all of our sins upon us. Excuse me. He took upon all of our sins upon himself. And he died. He paid the penalty for those sins so that you and I could what? We could have that free gift of salvation, a free gift of everlasting life. Even though we don't deserve it and we don't earn it, there's no way that we should have it. You know, he gave it to us as a free gift. And that's the picture here of forgiveness. And that's why the Lord says, you know, you should be people that are, let me go back to that other the other verse. That's why you should be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, be forgiving one another, because you have been forgiven so much. You know, we praise God every day when we get up and say, you know, thank you, God, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, God, for giving me everlasting life. Thank you for the blessings that you have. But, you know, we need to take those blessings and share those with other people by forgiving them. One more slide and we'll be done. What does forgiveness look like? Yes, sir. You realize that's the same guy that leaves his socks on the table, right? Okay. What does forgiveness look like? Forgiveness looks like this. Giving up our unhealthy anger, which is often expressed in bitterness, spite, rage, silent treatment, or revenge. Putting away, you know, all that stuff, he says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Put all that stuff away. And if you notice that Ephesians is the put off and put on section of the book of Ephesians, he's telling us what? Put all this stuff away, the rage and the anger and the spitefulness, all those kind of things, and put on love and tenderness and kindness. Be forgiving to one another. That's what he's saying. So whenever you see somebody who is a forgiving person doesn't what? He doesn't have that anger, doesn't have that bitterness, doesn't have the give people the silent treatment, doesn't seek to give revenge. He doesn't do those kind of things. Forgiveness looks like this: turning both the offender and the offense over to God for his righteous judgment. Okay? We can do one of two things. We can say, I'm going to get revenge on that person, or we can say what? I'm going to let God handle this thing. Because you know what? God may be working in a person's life, drawing him to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what's going on in a person's heart and life. You don't know what kind of things that God is doing in a person's life. And you showing forgiveness and you showing kindness and you showing tenderness could be just that thing that just, you know, pushes them along a little bit more in their relationship with Christ, their need for salvation. One more thing. If possible, making a commitment to work through those issues together until the root cause of the problem has been identified and resolved. Now, the reason I say if possible is that, you know, this may be somebody that, you know, they're not going to have any kind of a work through kind of thing. But sometimes you can work with a person that you have issues with, and you know, they're another brother and sister in Christ, and you're able to talk things through and work things through, and you know, and resolve the issues and problems that you have. You can do it in that type of a manner, if it's possible to do it that way. But forgiveness is so important for you and I to have in our relationships with people. So here's where it gets dirty and gets down and dirty. You have somebody that you haven't forgiven, somebody who has wronged you and you still have seeking revenge, or you have grudges against them, you're giving them the silent treatment, you're doing something like that. You realize that if you have somebody like that, you're not hurting them, you're hurting yourself. Because it destroys your relationship with Christ, because you're living in sin, because you're not doing what God told you to do. And this bitterness just grows up in you and makes you a bitter person. It is not effective in their ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we can hold this bitterness for years and years and years and years. But God wants us to be people that forgive. And maybe tonight, you just need to call out to God and say, God, help me to forgive. And you fill in the name. They wronged me years ago. They've said this. They've done this. Or maybe it was just this week. But God, help me to forgive them. Because I don't want it to ruin my relationship with you. My relationship with you is more important than what they have done to me. Let's pray. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for an opportunity that we had to think about one of the things that's really tough in our life, in our day-to-day life to do, is to forgive those who have wronged us. Lord, you know we have a natural man who lives in us, and he wants to get revenge and do those things that are wrong. But I pray, dear God, that you'd help each one of us in this room to recognize our need to be forgiving, kind, gentle, tender-hearted people that show the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. And God will love you and will praise you and will thank you for how you have shown your victory. And God, if there's one here that has somebody that they need to forgive, I pray, God, that you give them no rest in their spirit until they have done what you want them to do. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.